Hear these words, rejoice. I'll say it again, rejoice. That ought to be in the Bible. Don't you think?
Hallelujah.
Don't you think that should be in there?
Yeah.
As we come this morning, man, with a lot of illness going around, we'll talk more about that. A lot of people sick in town. But we rejoice, even when we're struggling. Yes? Let's invite the Holy Spirit in this place. Jesus, we love you. You are the great physician. Would you move through our church? Would you move through our city? Would you be in this place? Jesus, we lift high your name. Send your Holy Spirit into this place. Capture our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Rise if you're able. Let's worship.
Good morning. If it's all right with you, let's start with a one that involves a little bit of singing out loud.
Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Sing it out. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us as we forgive the ones who sinned against us. Forgive them and lead us.
Come.
children will remain where they are for just a second. You may be seated.
Grayson Odom, would you bring your family up here, Grayson? Big guy right there. Grayson comes this morning with his mom and dad, Jack and Haley, and family to come to receive prayer of dedication this morning and blessing. Carlene, come over here. Come on. Does anybody know the tune to Jeopardy? Da, 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 da. No. I'm just kidding, Carlene. Well, Grayson comes this morning. His mom and dad bring him to receive that blessing. We want to pray a prayer of dedication and blessing. So I just ask you guys, as mom and dad, do you guys promise to raise him in a way where he knows how much Jesus loves him?
Yes.
And in a way, live a life that honors him and everything he does? Yes. Amen. So we pray. If you guys, y'all kind of come in and huddle up, see if we can put a hand on Mr. Grayson here. Father, Jesus, I just reminded you said, as the disciples were rebuking you for letting the children come and sit in your lap and all, you said, no, 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 let the little children come to me. For such as these belong the kingdom of heaven. So, Lord, I pray your blessing on Grayson, God, that he would grow up. He would be a mighty warrior for you, Jesus. That he would know deeply how much you love him, how you died for him and you saved him from his sin. Lord, would you bless this family, God, this extended family, this church, God. May we all be good examples for little Grayson as he grows up. Father, bless him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
You may be seated. God bless y'all.
Is it in his Bible and his certificate?
Tell him not to read that whole Bible this afternoon, just to spread it out. Children, if you will come and join Miss Carlene out the door for Children's Church this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
For a brief period of time, I'm going to be a little faster than Carlene, I think, for just a very brief period of time, and I'm relishing that. I really am. Well, good to see you. I want to encourage you to go ahead and check into the service. And for those worshiping with us online, God bless you. I encourage you to go ahead and check in as well through the app. Several things coming up. The men's breakfast this month will be at Wiley Baptist Church, and that's next Saturday, the 8th, starting at 7:30. And then, ladies, there's an opportunity for you to get together on the 22nd of February for a day-long event, a six-hour event. And you can go ahead and sign up either through the app, the website, or you can scan the QR code in the bulletin. I think that'll be a great time of fellowship and seeking the Lord together. A couple of things that have taken place over the past few days. The men's summit was Friday evening and Saturday afternoon, or up to 4 p.m. And I understand that the men had an incredible experience with the Lord and with one another. So continue to pray for the men that what they receive from the Lord, that they'll walk that out. And then we had 19 fourth and fifth graders and 8 adults that went to Superstart, which is a conference in the Metroplex on Friday and Saturday. And I understand from some reports that was also a significant event for those children and adults. So pray for them as well as they walk out what they have received from the Lord. Does anybody know anybody that's sick? I was counting this week. I think I knew 15 people that had the flu. And I'm thinking, you know, if I know 15, how many other people are struggling with illness? And I just want to pray against this scourge, I guess, that's just running rampant in our community and surrounding areas. I know several schools had to close for several days this week. And I just want to pray that God will bring healing into our area. So I'm going to encourage you, if you want to go ahead and bow your head, whatever posture you're comfortable with before the Lord. And probably all of us in here know someone who's struggling with illness. So I want to encourage you for about a minute or so to go ahead and intercede for those people. And then I'll close this in prayer. Lord, we love you. God, we acknowledge that because of the fall that we have sickness, we have illness, we have brokenness, spiritual brokenness, physical brokenness. But God, we also acknowledge that you're all powerful. And Father, with just a word, just a glance, our direction from the throne room of heaven, this illness could disappear in our area. Lord, I thank you for the medical community. I thank you for the wisdom you've given them to treat issues. But at the end of the day, Jesus, you are our healer. And so we ask that in your strong name, that healing come to our area. Father, I pray for those that are struggling right now with fever. I pray for those who are struggling with just a lack of energy, Lord, would you energize them? Would you touch those bodies for your glory? I know for me, illness just robs me of joy, robs me of a desire to pursue you. And so, Lord, from that vantage point, we pray against the illness so people will continue to encounter you in a new, maybe in a profound way. Lord, I pray for these school systems that have had to shut down. God, I just pray that you free up those areas, those rural areas, Lord, so the kids can get back in the class. Oh, Father, we need you. We need you. Lord, I want to pray for our nation. God, I'm just, I don't know, encouraged, I guess I'm in awe that in a lot of circles, in a lot of arenas, in the media, that Jesus, your name is being mentioned, your name is being exalted. And gosh, I don't remember a time where that's been the truth, and so we pray for a continuation of that. Lord, it's almost like something has been freed up in the spiritual realm and the supernatural realm where it's cool to say the name of Jesus. So I just pray that people discover you, Jesus, how good you are, how loving you are, how wonderful you are. And Father, I just pray for the day that righteousness rules this nation. for your glory. This nation, our state, our city, our churches. Father, I just pray for a holy, sovereign move in which true, genuine revival takes place. And lives are radically, radically changed. Oh, Father, I just thank you for calling us to be change agents in our culture. Lord, would you empower us, Father, not to settle for the status quo. Would you empower us, Father, to where our hearts break for what breaks your heart? God, we're in desperate need of you, even though we might not realize that. Total dependence is on you. Our very next breath comes from you because you allow it to come. Oh, give us that perspective of who you are. And we love you so. Thank you for this opportunity to pray, and we pray the prayer that Jesus, you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Once again, church, thank you so much for your financial faithfulness. You can continue to give online. Our offering boxes are by the doors. Give as the Lord leads you to give. Also, we'll have several people available for prayer after the service. Robert and Debbie Mills would love to pray with you. Please seek them out. Seek myself out. And let's continue to worship the Lord.
I said this in the early service. I think it's something that we've been praying for. It's something that we're beginning to see. But I think more than anything, when we look into Scripture, it says, you know, if we don't praise, the rocks will cry out. And one of the things I said in early services was like, I don't know about you, but it seems like there are rocks in our society that are beginning to cry out Jesus. And one of the ones that I mentioned in the early service is most of y'all know who Joe Rogan is. He has the most listened to podcast in the entire world. And out of that, he's had three different people come on his podcast and claim the legitimacy of Scripture, claim that Jesus is Lord, and so much so that through those conversations and through those interactions with those people, he's even coming to that realization. And so rocks of our culture are crying out because even when the world looks dark, Jesus shines brighter. Amen? That grace is there. That grace is proficient. That grace is sufficient, and that grace is always there when we need it. So, why don't we sing about that?
Like me, I
He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Does anybody feel that besides me in the room this morning? How he loves us? Is this on, Robert? Does anybody else feel that besides me? Man, God is so good. God is so good to us. Even when difficult times are upon us, God is good. He's proven his love toward us. So, a couple of things. we'll have the Lord's Supper at the end of my sermon, and once you know, I'm still a little gravelly. I'm coming to the end of some sinus stuff. I'm not gonna touch anybody have an amen that I'm not gonna touch the elements. So there's that. Lots of people sick, and we want to continue to pray that people get well. If you are a guest this morning, we love having you here. Glad that you are with us. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe, says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out, and I'd love to meet you. I won't shake your hand this morning. We'll give the right elbow of Christian fellowship this morning, just out of respect. I don't think I'm contagious. I never had fever or any of that kind of stuff. I think mine was more sinus stuff, but just out of courtesy and caution, we'll do it that way. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2. I love me some Philippians. Anybody else like Philippians? Philippians chapter 2. This is probably one of my favorite scriptures of all scripture. Philippians 2, verse 1. The Apostle Paul writing to the church in Philippi, and he says, If any of you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We know through faith and through your word that you are here. Now would you speak to our hearts? Transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. So I played a clip a couple of years ago, but I want to play just this little segment of it. Most of you know the story. In fact, Brent didn't know I was going to talk about this today when he chose Amazing Grace for us to sing today. But the author of Amazing Grace was a man named John Newton. John Newton was a slave ship captain, did horrible things in his early life, and came to Christ, repented of that life, and became a pastor. And towards the end of his memoirs or his writings, he came to the end of his life. He was in failing health, nearly blind, And he had a very famous saying that I want to show you a quick little clip of that moment. Go ahead.
This is my confession. You must use it. Names, ship's records, ports, people. Everything I remember is in here. Although my memory is fading, I remember two things very clearly. I'm a great sinner and Christ is a great savior.
Although my memory is fading, I remember two things very clearly. I'm a great sinner. Christ is a great savior. Do you hear the humility in that profession of his faith? So we're continuing the sermon series, The Upside Down Kingdom. You know, Jesus' kingdom, he doesn't work the way the world's kingdom does. Today's message is the humble will be exalted. You know, our culture doesn't place a great emphasis on humility, yes? But in Christ's kingdom, this upside down kingdom, the humble will be exalted. So I'm going to just dive in here, and we're going to talk a little bit about that from this passage today. In God's upside down kingdom, church, the humble please God. It's pleasing to God to be humble. I love this passage out of 1 Peter, and you'll see it in your handout there. This is Peter who probably, being humble, was probably not his strong suit. Remember when Jesus said, all of you will fall away, and what did Peter say? Not me, not me. If everybody else falls away, I'm gonna stand firm. Well, we know how that worked out. But that same Peter, after, it's amazing the transformation that happened in the disciples. Think about how you would feel, how it might rattle your cage a little bit. You see the Savior of the world who's told you what's going to happen. You see him hanging on the cross. You see him taken down lifeless off the cross. And 3 days later, he's fixing your breakfast. You think that might change your attitude a little bit? So that Peter, after he's experienced the resurrected Christ, he says this in 1 Peter 5, all of you clothe yourself with humility toward one another because God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. And he's quoting from Proverbs when he says that. Now, so God opposes the proud. He's not talking about being proud of, you know, like it's okay to be proud of your family if you're pleased and you're proud of your kids or your parents. I mean, that's not what he's talking about. Or pride in a job well done. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about this arrogant, self-centered proud where we put all the emphasis on ourselves. And probably one of the greatest examples of that, I think, where the dichotomy of those two positions is the two thieves on the cross. Jesus and the two thieves are all in the same position. They're nailed to a cross. Their time in this earth is short. One thief is arrogant, prideful, is cursing Jesus. The other one, in humility, asks for mercy. That's the picture right there. The humble please God in this upside down kingdom. Secondly, in God's upside down kingdom, you want to know what it's like? Jesus exemplifies humility. In everything, we look to Jesus as our example. In this idea of humility, Jesus exemplifies what he's asking of us in this passage today, Philippians 2. Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. So what it's basically saying is Jesus is God in the flesh. He's Emmanuel. He's God. He deserves to be high and exalted. But instead, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So that's the picture that we're going for. That's what Jesus, in his very nature, exemplifies, the humility that pleases God. So not only does Jesus exemplify that humility, but the third is, in God's upside-down kingdom, we, as followers of Christ, we are called to follow Christ's example. Now, more than likely, none of us will have to give our lives in defense of the gospel, but in this day and age, who knows? I know across the world that's happening every day, people having to give their lives to be a Christian. But nonetheless, we are called to follow Christ's example as Christ followers. Your attitude, the scripture, should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than ourselves. Is that difficult for anybody but me? To consider others better than ourselves in humility? Being like-minded with Christ, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Jesus exemplifies the humility that pleases God, and we are called to follow the example that Christ has given us. And then fourthly, in God's upside-down kingdom, humility results in exaltation. I love, you know, I've said this so many times, but there's that in verse 9, it leads off with that word, therefore. What is therefore? Therefore. Thank you, Tom. When you see therefore, you go back and read the scriptures that are leading into that statement. What he's saying is that God, Jesus was God made flesh. He's Emmanuel. He is God, and he should be high and exalted, but instead he humbled himself and became obedient to death for you and I. Therefore, since that's what transpired with Christ, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Now, I've preached on this. My brother Larry preached on this a year or so ago. The name of Jesus, here it is. Did you know there's power in the name of Jesus? Spiritual power and authority. It's not just a name. Jeff's just a name. Jesus has spiritual power and authority. And we should wield it as a weapon against the enemy. Are you listening? Is this on? When you're sad, when you're lonely, when you're afraid, when you're discouraged, when you're depressed, anything where you're struggling, where you're tempted to do things you shouldn't be doing, use the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Now, I love this. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. There's no knees excluded from the power of the name of Jesus. I love that. I just don't think we as believers fully grasp this. That when we use the name of Jesus, the demons have to hit their knees. Do you understand that? First of all, you need to understand there is demons. There is spiritual warfare. And if you think that's weird and all that, just read your Bible. Jesus cast stuff out of something. I mean, he cast something into the pigs. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Therefore, because of how Jesus responded on our behalf, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that's above every name. I'll give you an example. I hadn't planned on sharing this, but I shared it at the early service. I shared it years ago, but this was, I should preface this, this was 25 or 30 years ago. It was a long time ago, but I had overcome a struggle with pornography. And when I started walking with the Lord, that I had not, was not battling that. And one day I don't even remember what I was doing. I had some trash I was dumping, and I confess that I was dumping it in a public place. I probably shouldn't have dumped it, you know, because people do that in our dumpster out there all the time. Drives me nuts. Fill our dumpster up. But anyway, but I've done it, so I have a little grace for them. So I'm taking. There was a dumpster down the street here on Antley, and I've got some stuff in my truck, and I'm gonna. It's too much for my little dumpster at the house, so I'm gonna put it in this dumpster, and I pulled up, and I flipped open the dumpster, and I kid you not, there was not a thing in the dumpster except dirty magazines, and they were fanned out like they were on display. Now that for you young people, inappropriate pornography. You used to get it in on magazines. It didn't always just come in. We didn't have these things. And there was magazines fanned out at the bottom of this dumpster. And because I was filled with the Holy Spirit, because I was walking with the Lord, it was still, I'm opened up there and I see those and I'm like, hey, look at that. And there was nobody around. And here's what I did. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, Satan. And I said it, and I'm screaming it. There was nobody around. And I just dumped my trash on top of those, and I get in my pickup, and I'm leaving. And people that, anybody that passed by thought I was probably a Looney Tune because I'm in my pickup going, yeah! In your eye, Satan! In the name of Jesus, we can resist what the devil means for harm in our life. I hope you hear me. And there's times that I feel, I don't know, I'm just getting real with you, okay? I'm just trying to help you. There's times that I don't see anything or anything, but there's times that I'll get up in the middle of the night and maybe go in the restroom or something, and I just feel something just doesn't feel right in the room. Anybody ever feel that? Well, guess what? I just say, under my breath, I just say, in the name of Jesus, leave me alone, leave my family alone, get out of my house, in the name of Jesus. And guess what? I've never, ever, ever prayed that and come back to bed and still felt it. I'm not sure I've said this yet, but did you know there's power in the name of Jesus? Therefore, because Jesus humbled himself and became our servant for our sake because he loves us, therefore God exalted him and gave him the name above every name. You should use it. Humility results in exaltation. One of my favorite parables that Jesus teaches, Luke chapter 18, I think it's there in your handout. To some, wouldn't you love to have been in this crowd? To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told his parable. Wouldn't you love to have been in that crowd? In other words, to all you arrogant people Jesus was talking to, I want to tell you a parable. And Jesus said, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his chest and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the one, went home, Jesus said, justified before God. For whoever, here it is, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Man, our culture seems to encourage pride. Pride and arrogance. But Jesus rewards humility. It pleases him for us to be humble. You know, I'll say that I should say this more often. You know, the Lord has blessed our church so much. You know that most of you probably know the story, but you know, I've been here 22 years, and it was pretty rough start, and God has blessed us. I think the reasons for that there's several. Number one, because the Lord loves us, and our hearts are right, and He's just blessed us. It's just the Lord's doing. And I would say this, in spite of the pastor, not because of, but in spite of the pastor. And the Lord loves us. He's brought so many wonderful people into this church. You guys have a wonderful staff that loves Jesus, and our staff, we don't fuss, we don't fight, and we're trying to honor God. And I think because our hearts are seeking Him, all of us, God has blessed us. And I think in humility, we give God the glory and the praise for that. And I'm blessed to just sometimes Cheryl and I, we drive down the road and just look at the church and like, man, how good is God to bless us to be a part of this wonderful place. Humility results in exaltation. This meal that we're getting ready to partake in is another fine example. Jesus, he's sitting around the table with these men who've seen him raise the dead. They've seen him walk on water. They've seen him heal the blind, heal the lame, heal the leper, open the eyes and the ears of those that didn't work. They've seen all these things. And Jesus knows, he's been telling them what's getting ready to happen to him. And he also knows what they will do. They will deny him, desert him, betray him. And yet, in humility, what's he do? He doesn't lecture them. He washes their feet. And then he serves this meal, which, by the way, he told us as to continue to partake in this meal and to remember him when we do it. Remember the humility that he gave us in this meal. So if you would, take your hymnal. And it will also be on the screen, page 12. Hear this invitation. This is not my invitation, Christ our Lord's invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him. Church, do you love him? Amen. You're invited. And who earnestly repent of their sin? Church, do you repent of your sin? You are invited. And seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you will pray your own personal prayer of repentance in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread. He gave thanks to you, and he broke the bread. He gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So, in remembrance of these mighty acts in Christ Jesus, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. If those who are serving would come forward, please. Christ our Lord invites you to his table. This table, it's not my table, it's not our church's table, it's the Lord's table. If you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you repent of your sins, you're welcome to come. You do not have to be a member of our church. But also, if you do not wish to be served, that's your prerogative as well. These two stations here, you will be given a piece of bread and dip into the cup, as well as these two stations over here. If you'd like the individual elements, you can come to the center aisle, grab one of those, take it back to your seat. I would consume the bread first and then the juice, and you can discard your empty as you leave. Christ invites you. Come.
Yeah.
though Jesus was God made flesh, and he deserved to be high and exalted, and yet he humbled himself because he loves us. And Jesus has the name that is above every name. That's good news, church. Take that name with you. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior, and wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.